Hello, everybody. Welcome to or welcome back to my Mixed Reality Podcast. I'm your host, Lily Tombe, and thank you for joining me on episode 18 of the podcast. I hope you guys are all doing well. I'm so excited to be back on a more routine and consistent schedule. I talked about it a little bit last time, but I'm doing better, taking everything day by day. And yeah, thank you guys for tuning into Mixed Reality Podcast. I know a few of you guys really liked the last episode, which makes me smile. I did get a couple tips and notes and all those different things, so I really do appreciate you guys. You know, I always love your feedback. But anyways, today's episode is something that I've been thinking about for a while, and I mentioned it, I believe, in episode 16 about how I kind of wanted to realign myself with the original vision of this podcast. And obviously, if you haven't listened to episode 1 of Remix Reality Podcast, I highly recommend. It's where I dive into the vision as well as introducing myself. But I think one of the biggest things is understanding that, unfortunately, because of the type of world that we live in, everything is not going to be sunshine and rainbows. Life isn't going to be easy 24/7. You're going to have your hard moments. You're going to have moments in which you feel like giving up. And you're going to have, you know, unfortunately, a lot of us get handed really rough cards when it comes to life. And I believe that we hold the power to kind of create the life that we want to live. And it may not look like what, you know, the things in front of you are telling you your life's going to look like, your family, your friends. But I believe that we hold the power to create the life that we want to live. And I think part of that is kind of allowing yourself to see the world in a different lens and a different perspective, because I think there's a lot of things in life that try to steal your joy, that try to steal your light, that try to steal your motivation. And I think being able to kind of overcome that will be your superpower in more ways than one. And I know we're 2 minutes into this episode, I'm already hitting the ground running, but today's episode honestly is mainly going to be a chit chat. I have very little notes. I actually don't have any notes, but this has just been something that I've been thinking about forever. So if this feels like it's all over the place, I apologize, but I think it's been something that's been on my mind for a very long time. And so it's about the concept of hardening our hearts. And I think it relates directly to joy, but I think this whole idea kind of has been on my mind because I think there's a lot of things that have happened recently that have, my gut reaction is to like shut everybody down and not talk to anybody and like, you know, like be by myself and, you know, not engage with anybody and stuff like that. But I kind of realized that that is essentially the point in what these people that are doing these things to you, that are saying these things about you, want you to do. They want you to turn away and isolate everybody and be mean and do all those different things. And I realized that that's just not a life that I want to live. I think even when the world feels cruel, it's very natural to want to shut down. And I think we do it and as a way to protect our heart in many ways. But when we do that, it, on many, many, many times will cut us away from joy and genuine connection with different people. And so I kind of just wanted to talk about this whole concept a little bit and kind of just be honest and share how that is for me, share how there's times in which I've failed in doing that and there's times in which I think I've succeeded. I think one thing that's very important to note is there's a difference between protecting your heart and hardening your heart. And I think when we harden our heart, we cut ourselves off from the beauty that comes with having genuine connection with people. And I think it's very important to protect your heart. And I encourage it all the time, but I think when we surpass protecting our heart with hardening our heart, that's when things get a little bit messy. But yeah, we're going to take a trip down memory lane. I'm going to be telling a few stories today, so I think it's mainly just going to be me being vulnerable, I would say, with this particular topic, because I think, unfortunately, I am the master of hardening my heart. So let's talk a little bit about it. Okay, so when I was younger, I talked about this, how friendships was something that was really, really hard for me, specifically in like actually my whole life, I would say, but more specifically middle school and high school is when it was really tough. And I had a few friends in middle school in particular, but they weren't the greatest, but I'm not gonna blame them because we were 12. But I was just always like isolated and cut off from them and stuff like that. And so from the very beginning, I didn't have the greatest, you know, I didn't trust people that much because my friendships were a little messy. My home life was very messy. I felt very alone in more ways than one. And so this whole idea of like trusting people just felt very odd to me. I never really felt like it was something that I could do. I could open up to people. I know we talked about this heavily in my friendship episode. I think eventually as time went on, I started to trust people a little bit more. But in high school is when I was in like a friendship breakup, and that really, really hurt me really bad. And so that I would say is when I kind of hardened my heart off from a lot of people, and it was really hard for me to trust anybody. And so I was very isolated, and in my mind, I was protecting myself because I was like, oh my gosh, the pain of like getting to know somebody and like trusting them and letting them into your life and then them leaving you or them disappointing you is way worse than having genuine connection with somebody. And I actually strongly disagree with that. I think if you love somebody so deeply, this can be friendships, this can be relationships. I think, yeah, in the end, if that comes to a close, like that's going to hurt. But I think the time that you got to spend with each other is probably something that's going to be, you know, outweigh that pain. And I think I kind of switched my perspective a little bit and look at it like I'm glad I got to experience that love, even if it was only temporary. Like I'm glad that, you know, obviously you don't go into any friendships or situations with this mindset that it's going to be temporary. But I think even if it does end up being temporary, it's understanding that like you got to experience that love. And I think that's great. But anyways, I saw that idea of like me not trusting anybody or me not letting my friends in or anything like that as a way of protecting myself. But in reality, I was just harming myself. Because when I think when you're in isolation, there's something so tricky about that. That's when your mind is the most vulnerable. That's when you are very like critical of yourself in like a very unhealthy way. And I think there's such importance in allowing people in your life. And I didn't see that. I didn't understand what a good, healthy friendship could look like. I didn't understand that having people in your corner or people cheering you on could be something that's beautiful, because to me, I never really had that. So with friendships, that's what that looked like. But I think in terms of just the world, like thinking about so many different things, like we unfortunately live in a very dark society and a very dark times right now. I think there's so many different things that I could use to quote this, but I think everybody in the end is going through something, whether you're feeling the weight of everything that's happening in the government on like a higher level than a lot of people, whether there's things going on in your personal life, whether school is like dragging you down, work, whatever the case is, like quite literally every single one of us is going through something. And I think I've grown such a strong level of empathy more recently. I think I always considered myself somebody who had a lot of empathy, but I think especially like understanding and feeling like the weight of your feelings, I think is something that makes you like understand that like I never want anybody to feel like the pain that I'm going through or this, that, and the third. And so I think I've been a lot more nice to the people around me because I understand that everybody's going through a lot. But for the longest time, like I want to say when I was in high school is when I was going through like really bad depression, I would say. Actually, I think bad's an understatement, but I was struggling a lot. But at that time, it was that I was very numb because I would much rather be numb and not feel anything that was happening than feel the weight of what was going on. And to me, like not experiencing any feelings and not experiencing any emotion and hardening my heart off in that way was protecting me, when in reality, I was just digging a hole deeper and deeper for myself. Because if I'm not able to feel the things that are happening, I didn't feel anything. I didn't feel joy. I didn't feel pain. I don't think I cried for like a very long time. And I was in a very, in my opinion, scary state to be in. I think part of being human is feeling everything and feeling, though I know a lot of people feel things very, very deeply. And that's why they hate their emotions, because it feels like they connect so much to everything around them. And it, for them, it feels like a weakness, but I think it's actually a superpower. But I wasn't allowing myself to feel anything. And so in my idea, I thought that I was protecting myself from feeling all these different things, but not feeling any sort of emotion is not healthy. I don't know who needed to hear that, but it's okay to cry. I think even if I cry now, I'm like, what is wrong with me? But then I realized that is like a very normal human thing to do. And, you know, not letting yourself feel anything is not human. I think you're supposed to feel emotions. We're supposed to feel the weight of things around us, joy, happiness, sadness, everything in between we are supposed to feel. But I think it's learning how to take control of those emotions and learning how to understand your emotions so that you're not letting your emotions control you is what creates that superpower. But me just feeling nothing. I thought was something that was protecting me, and I realized it was not protecting me at all. And coming on the other side of that and the process of learning and understanding and feeling your emotions, I think is something that's really interesting. But anyways, now that we're out of memory lane, let's come now to the present. Well, actually, it'll still be the past because this was a few weeks ago. But there were... One thing about me is I've already shared this before, but I grew up in a, like, predominantly white neighborhood, an area pretty much my entire life. And I think because of that, in a way, I wasn't in touch with my identity in the sense that I knew I was Black because I was reminded of it every single day. However, I felt like I was living in this bubble because with the exception of, actually that would be a lie, I was gonna say with the exception of a few people, I didn't ever really got a hard time. I think I was just so used to it that to me, it was very normal, right? And like little stereotypical things, like normalized, little racist comments, kind of normalized, but it was nothing, with the exception of a few instances, it was never anything out of the ordinary, right? And then coming now to PWI, it's something that you would think, oh, Lily, you would be so used to. But because I had been living in that bubble in which, yes, I was one of very few Black people in my town, because I knew all these people since I was 5 years old, to them, I was never really like an outsider, if that made sense. At least that's how I perceived myself. I didn't feel like I was an outsider to them. Like, I still very much felt like I was a part of that. They all knew me. We all watched each other grow up from elementary school to high school. And because of that, coming here to a place where nobody really knows you, but a lot of people just see you simply for the color of your skin, I think is something that's very hard. And if you follow me on TikTok, you probably already saw this, but a few weeks ago, there was this group of people on campus, and I don't even want to give them any more airtime or anything they deserve, but there's this group of people who came on our campus, and they basically had disgusting signs displayed saying things like, do Black Lives Matter, stop Black privilege, a bunch of stuff about trans individuals, and it was just really heartbreaking. Things about Democrats and fascism, which I find really ironic, but all these different things. And I'm just trying to walk to class. Like, I am just trying to get from point A to point B, and I'm being heckled by these people who are sitting there with their signs and spewing hate and all these different things. And I was walking past, and the guy was like, oh, I'm glad the Black people are still here because I want to educate the most ignorant people on campus. And I was kind of just like, are you serious? Like, I do not have time for this. I'm just here to get my degree and leave. I don't need to be harassed on my way to campus. And I know a lot of campuses are like this, but I actually don't know how badly it is on other campuses because I'm from San Diego, so I've been to San Diego State. It's very rare that you get harassed by people, at least the times that I've been on campus, by people on San Diego State. At my school, you gotta worry about the cult church members. You gotta worry about people trying to sell you stuff. You gotta worry about people trying to put charges on your Zod account. You have to worry about so many different things. I'm like, can I just go to class? Dang, one day, can I just be at peace and get to my class and get my degree and get out of here, right? And these people were yelling all these different things, and it created an uproar, right? And there's people who are angry on campus, and of course our university didn't do anything. Of course they did it. And it was really hard. And I know a lot of people specifically in the Black community and all like transgender individuals who are also victim of that as well. And everybody else who experienced or were a part of that attack felt really heavy after that. And for me, I think it was like my bubble, it was popped like this perfect, you know, although things weren't perfect and there's been many instances that are similar to this in which the school doesn't do anything. This time it felt really heavy and I didn't know why. I didn't understand why. I think it's because, well, for many reasons. I think something about your intelligence being questioned is something that nobody likes. I'm not to toot my own horn, but I think I'm a pretty smart cookie, like, you know. like I definitely earned my way into this, and anybody into this school and people limiting it and saying that it was based on the color of my skin, I think is something that I find quite comical, just because we could probably compare report cards and resumes and we could see that it probably wasn't because I'm Black. But anyways, it's people questioning your intelligence when you're simply just trying to exist. People questioning your existence when you're simply trying to exist is something that's so exhausting. And I hope nobody ever has to experience that. And so I was sitting here and I was like, what is going on? There's so much happening in the world. There's so much happening with our president, if you want to call him that. Sorry. There's so much happening right now. And I am just trying to be at school and get my education so I can get out of here and hopefully make a difference in the world. And I can't even do that without people, you know. And I was talking to somebody in my life. And they were saying that, like, I put myself in these situations or something like that. And I got angry, as one does. And I was like, okay, I have to go, right? Because I was like, I'm not going to sit here. And, you know, and I know that's not what they meant. And I talked to this person after. But I was like, I would have put myself in that situation if I went up to these people. And I was like, I still wouldn't even say I put myself in that situation, but this whole thing that people think that it's like, I'm like provoking people and this is why this is happening. It's like, I didn't say anything. I didn't make eye contact with these people. It's like, you're simply just trying to exist and somebody is trying to. Anyways, you're like, Lily, why do I care? That's such a very specific story, but here's why. I was walking home after that and I had these thoughts, and I talked about this in a previous episode, in which I was like, I can just be me. Like, I can just be mean. I can just exist to myself. I can just not let anybody in. I can just be, you know, just me. I can just harden my heart off to the entire world, because that's what these people want. These people want me to be mean. These people want me to fit the, you know, box that they want to put me in. They want me to follow these stereotypes that they've already placed on me. They want me to be a part of the statistic and all those different things. I'm like, why don't I just give them what they want? And that's when I'm glad I walked home, because it's a long walk. But I'm glad I walked home, because I had this like epiphany that that's exactly what these people want. That's exactly what these people want. And I don't know who needs to hear this, but I promise you, by giving into those feelings of let me just be terrible, let me cut everybody off, let me just be by myself, you're giving these people exactly what they want. Because I promise you, they want you to be bitter. They want you to stick to yourself. They want you to not, you know, enjoy what life has to offer despite the crazy things that are happening. And I can't give them what they want. I think my goal is to, you know, look at those people and prove them wrong and let them know that I'm not another statistic and all those different things. But then I also realized I don't owe these people anything. And you don't owe those people anything. You don't owe, you know, I'm sure this is a very specific situation, but I'm sure some of you guys could fill in the blank with something that's very, very similar, in which you have gone through something that was so heartbreaking and you're like, I'm never going to love again. I'm never going to let people in again. I'm never going to trust anybody again. And that is essentially what people want. And I think what we have to do is stop giving the world what it wants, in the sense that if it harms your peace, then you don't need to give them that. If I were to then go through my entire life just thinking about these people and how they want me to fail and all those different things, I'm probably going to fail. I'm probably going to give into that. And when I understand that my success and my happiness and all that stuff and me getting to where I am at is what's going to make them even more mad, like, that's exactly what I want to do. And understanding that having joy despite the world trying to beat you down is one of the most beautiful things that you can have. And it's a very hard thing to have. And we've talked about joy on this podcast before, but I think it's in times like that, it's way easier said than done. It's way easier said than done to be like, hey, let's choose to be joyful in the midst of this all. Despite that being a very terrible time, and despite the past 2 months being very, very hard for me, still choosing time to be joyful, still choosing time to spend time with myself and understanding that, yeah, life sucks right now, but I promise you at some point in time, it will get better. And I don't need to wait for it to get better in order to understand that there's still beauty in this life. There's still beauty in living. And instead of focusing on the things that are going to harden your heart, try and focus on the things that are going to allow you to still feel joy in the midst of this all. Like I said, way easier said than done. I also just want to speak on this idea of, like, I know everybody feels a lot of things really heavily, and I think especially right now it's reminding me of in times like this, because I think things, we thought COVID was bad, like things, unfortunately, I'm talking about that COVID era, not just COVID itself, but I think things feel extremely heavy, and I think a lot of us are really confused as to how we're supposed to continue with life and business as normal when the life and the world that we know it is crumbling. And I think so much tragedy has happened in the past few months, and a lot of us are really confused. And there's a lot of very sick people in the world. And I think many of us use hardening our heart as a defense mechanism. And I think at times it feels like what makes the most sense, right? You see thing after thing, statistic after statistic, and you're like, I should just harden my heart. Like, this world is getting scary. And I think a part of understanding and creating the life that you want is understanding that, like, things are scary right now. Like, things are very unusual right now. And I think unusual is an understatement. And I think you're coming to the realization that there's a lot of terrible and sick people in the world. But I think what we need more than anything is people who are still choosing to be themselves and still choosing to be joyful in the midst of all of that. And I probably was the worst person to be around the past 2 weeks. I was not giving into that joyful thing. I was not feeling joy. I wasn't feeling any of those things. And I think part of that is understanding that you're not always going to feel that 24/7. And I think a lot of us typically harden our hearts, for one, to avoid feeling pain. I think, like I've said, and I could use this for, I have like a million examples of this one in particular, but just having that mindset, if I don't let people in, then they can't betray you and they can't abandon you. A lot of us, I think, are still in survival mode. And as somebody who I feel like is still in survival mode, unfortunately, and has been in that for a long time, I think, especially this is in situations in which, let's say, you grew up in a house where, like, being vulnerable was punished. Like, you can't cry. Crying is for weak people, all those different things. Like, feeling nothing, and I would say this is me, it felt like survival. Like, I felt like I couldn't feel anything in order to survive. A lot of us will harden our hearts as a way that we're tricking ourselves to think that we're in control. I think a lot of our feelings, when we don't control them, are messy and unpredictable. And not feeling them gives you this illusion that you're doing okay and that you're doing fine. And I will tell you, that's the biggest lie you will ever hear. Simply not feeling your emotions does not mean that you're doing good. It's probably a sign of the opposite. I think especially with this situation, I hardened my heart in order to process injustice. I was very confused once again as to why, like, the world hates me. And I know that sounds very victim-centered, and in a way it is, but I was like, there's so many things, like, just simply existing. My simple existence is a problem to a lot of people, and that's something that I don't understand. And I was at a club meeting, and we were talking about, I don't even know what, but we were talking about something along this lines, and I was like, I honestly have taken that and used it as a superpower in my mind. I think, I don't know why I'm in the place that I'm at. I don't know why we face the injustices that we face. But in a way, I'm going to look at it as an honor to know that there are so many people preying on my downfall, to know that there are so many people that do not want to see me successful, do not want to see me happy for many reasons. I think I'm going to use that as motivation, not because I feel like I need to prove anything to them, but because I feel like, in a way, my journey and knowing that it's probably going to be a lot harder, for me, I see that as an honor. Although it sucks, and it's not going to feel like an honor in the moment when I'm constantly fighting for my space and fighting for my place at these tables and at these institutions and all these different things, or having to prove that I'm here because I deserve to be here and not because of the color of my skin or XYZ fill in the blank. I'm now using that as my superpower. And I know that when I succeed, because don't worry, I won't stop until I do, I'm going to be able to look back and understand, like, I put in that hard work and I put in that dedication and I didn't let the world steal my joy in the process of that. And I think there's so much beauty and so much just strength. I think it takes a level of strength and maturity that unfortunately a lot of us don't possess. And I think I'm saying this because I didn't possess it for a very long time. But the fact that I just had the thought of, like, I could just shut the world out. Like, I can just do me, and thinking that that was going to make me happy. When I get to the point, and let's say I did, you know, proceed with that. I did decide that I was going to stick to my friends. I was going to stick to my company. I was going to stick to these different things. And I eventually got to a successful place. I'll probably feel so lonely and so isolated and so confused. And would the success have even been worth it if the process of getting there was just filled with me and filled with me in my head and filled with me not being a beautiful person in terms of my heart, in terms of the things that I have to offer? It's really interesting. I don't know. I just thought of this. But people say, like, a girl's truly healing when she starts to like pink again. And I think people will find, you know, problems with that. But I don't really care. But I honestly, in a way, think that's very true. Like, learning to love the things that make me soft, the things that make me smile, like,
taking time, like music is one of the things that I could listen to 24/7. I could sit in my room and have my AirPods in if they wouldn't die, and I could just enjoy the peace of music and the beauty of music and all those different things. And I think I just want to fill my life with the things that continue to make me soft and the things that continue to make me me. I think being in control, I've already get told that I'm intimidating. And when I get told that, I look a little bit confused because I feel like I'm not that intimidating. But then I look at myself like when I'm walking and I'm like, okay, maybe that makes sense. But and so this thing, like, I don't think I mean, and I get told I'm very nice. So I'm like, this whole you're intimidating thing, I just find really interesting. Has to be racially motivated. Because when I ask why, they can't answer. So I'm like, okay, yeah, now I see what you mean. But anyways, I think I've also had this mindset for a long time that, like, we're gonna die, all of us, eventually. And I want to enjoy life while I'm here. And I don't want it to be filled with me being in survival mode 24/7. Or me thinking that, you know, trusting somebody or letting somebody in or loving somebody is going to cause more damage in my life. Now, I'm not saying be reckless and do whatever, but I am saying that understand that life is short. And that's just, I think, the reality. And I think a lot of people are scared of death. I have interesting, you know, relationship with that. But I think, honestly, understanding that, like, living your life to the absolute fullest now. I don't want to look back in 10 years and regret the fact that I didn't let anybody in during my 20s because I was so scared of being abandoned. No. I think you're going to get hurt regardless, probably. You're going to might as well just feel everything now, if that makes sense. Anyways, so here are some things that I think that we can do to keep our heart soft, even when the world is telling us to harden it. I think actually feel your feelings. Let me tell you, you'd be surprised. You know how I said, like, I feel everything so, like, I feel so much empathy now? Yeah, it's because I actually allowed myself to feel my feelings. I think compassion doesn't mean letting everything break you. I think it's okay to care. And it's also okay to step back when things get too much. I think it's very, I said this last week, but, like, I used to be, like, a yes person. Like, I used to feel like I, in order to make everybody happy, I needed to say yes to everything. And then I started saying no to things, and it's like you're getting your power back. I think I started to step back. I started to understand that, hey, sometimes things are too much. Whether it's like I'm in classes right now and we're reading some very triggering content. If I was not aware of my emotions, understanding like how this was making me feel or whatever the case is, like that could be scary. I think part of being human is wanting to feel those emotions and things like that. But I think understanding that it's not your job to carry the weight of the world on your shoulders. I don't know if you needed to hear that. Maybe some older siblings, maybe some younger siblings, maybe some middle children, maybe some parents. I don't know who's listening to this, but it's not your job to carry the weight of the world. It's not your job to feel everything so, so heavily. It's okay to feel, but it's not all your baggage that you need to carry. I would say find people to share that load with and find some good coping mechanisms and things in order to help you carry that load as well. I'd say also, like I just said, find your people. I think there are people that just remind you of your kindness and your softness and the true version of you. Other people always say like, oh, I have this one friend that I feel the happiest when I'm around. I have this one friend that I feel the most like myself when I'm around. Get friends like that. Stay with those people. Those are the people who you want in your circle. And those are typically also the people, not just the people that are telling you that you're amazing, that you're beautiful, that you're kind, that you're all those different things, but they're also the people that are going to tell you the hard truth. They're also the people that are going to tell you that it's okay to step back, that it's okay to not say yes to everything. Like those friends, usually it's usually a 2-for-1 deal. So I'm like, just go and find those people. And because those are the people who truly love you and want to see you succeed. If you feel the most like yourself around somebody, stay with those people. Okay. And if you feel like you're the opposite of yourself when you're with people, don't be around them. All right. I think one thing is good connections and good conversations with people. There are some people who I just have the best conversations with, and I feel more motivated to take on life. I feel more motivated to, you know, get through school and do all these different things because it's like we're sharing our fears. We're sharing what we're worried about. We're sharing all these different things, like the ability to be vulnerable with people and understand like, hey, I'm really stressed out about what's happening right now. And them being able to just understand and share that weight with you, I think in a way keeps your heart soft. It makes you understand that like, You don't need to be a robot 24/7. You don't need to not feel anything 24/7. That everybody around you is feeling emotions. We may not all be showing it, but everybody is feeling something. And find those people who are willing to show you that it's okay to feel, be affected by the things that are happening around you. Okay. I think, yes, a good connection with somebody can recenter your sense of hope and your sense of hope in the world. I think even having that one friend that reminds you that there are still kind people out there, having that one person that reminds you that, like, smiling in the midst of, like, you know, pain will go a long way. Find those people. I would say also create meaning in, like, the little things, whether it's helping people. I think I'm an acts of service person. I realize I'm also a words of affirmation person. I talked about this last week. I love handwritten cards that keep everything. Okay. But I think one thing that makes me happy, I like receiving words of affirmation. I like doing acts of service for people, whether it's something very small, like getting somebody flowers or doing this or doing that. I love it. I think it fills my cup. I think it reminds me that there's so much joy to be experienced in the world despite everything. Whether you're journaling or drawing or, you know, doing writing or putting your energy in things that you care about, I think is another thing to keep your heart soft in the midst of this all. I was at church this weekend and they were talking about, I don't even remember who said this, but they were talking about how, like, your pain will never go to waste. Right? Like, the things that you're experiencing right now will never go to waste. And I believe that there's a lot of the things that I'm experiencing right now that I'll be able to tell at the end of my story, if that makes sense. Like, I think down the line, things will eventually make more sense. Right now, it may not make the most sense, and it may just feel like this season is for nothing. But down the line, you're going to understand why you experienced the things that you experienced. I don't believe that anything... I think that everything happens for a reason. I don't really believe in coincidences. And I think that God won't let your pain go to waste. And so whatever you're experiencing, I think is going to be a part of a bigger story. But anyways, I think using your experiences to create something good helps you reclaim your power in the midst of this. So if you're going through a really hard time and you're like, ugh, I just want to shut everybody out, I just want to harden my heart, deciding to take that pain and create beauty out of it, I think is something that is quite wonderful. I think that's one thing or one reason why I really like writing and all things art, because I think you will read some of the most gut-wrenching pieces of, like, poetry or whatever and realize that although it's so, like, gut-wrenching, I have no better way to describe it, like, there's such beauty. I had a friend who wrote an article about something that happened in her life, and it's a very tragic situation and something that was very, like, affected her a lot, but she was able to turn that into such a beautiful story and share it with people. And I have no doubt in my mind that it's helped so many people who've experienced something very similar. And I think now writing isn't everybody's cup of tea, but I think there's so many different ways where you can take your pain and change and turn it into something beautiful. But I also want to say it's okay to just sit and let yourself experience that pain. I think it's actually quite unhealthy to immediately be like, oh, I need to change this and make this something great. I think it's okay to feel it and understand, like, this sucks. And then in the end of it, understand that, like, I'm just not going to let that go to waste. I'm going to use the things that I experience and make it for good. So I would say allow yourself to feel it. You don't need to jump directly into trying to create this masterpiece out of the things that you've experienced. I think also some things are just too painful in order to relive or too painful in order to, you know, share with the world. And I think that's okay as well. Okay. I would say be present in your life. This one's big. I think there's a lot of cruelty in, like, the systems that we have and all those different things. But I think there are small, beautiful things that exist, right? I say I love the sunset. I actually haven't watched the sunset in a while. That makes me sad. But that's something that I used to do every single day. Last year, I would go to the top of the parking structure and I would watch the sunset, and it would just bring me so much joy. And it would remind me that, like, regardless of the day that you had, like, there's always tomorrow, hopefully. But yeah, regardless of the day that you had, like, there's always tomorrow. And I think it just reminds you that, like, this too shall pass, if you've ever heard that. And just being present in everyday life as you're walking to class and you see a pretty flower or something like that. And I know these things sound really stupid, but I think knowing that life is more than just the really big moments that make it, that it's actually the in-between moments, I think is something that allows you to remember that there's still so much beauty even in the midst of chaos. Laughter is something I love more. I was with, this was a while ago, but I was with some friends, and there was a group of people around us who were like laughing really hard. And I thought that was really cute, right? Because I could see myself in them, although I wasn't laughing in that moment. I could see myself in them. I could see myself with my friends laughing nonstop. And the people I was with had a problem with the fact that they were laughing. And I was like, I'm so happy that they're experiencing joy. I'm so happy that they have something to laugh about. And it makes me smile. Seeing people happy and seeing people smile, seeing people truly in love and enjoying their friend's company or their significant other's company is something that actually makes me smile a lot. And I think it's part of what makes us human. It's just, I don't know if anybody loves people watching, but like people watching and just seeing people have such pure joy, I think is something that brings me so much beauty. But if I constantly live my life only focused on myself, I wouldn't be able to see that. I think I experience so much joy, like secondhand joy, like not even things that I'm doing, but like seeing people thrive, seeing people live the life that they want, seeing people, you know, being successful, like that's stuff that brings me so much joy. And so if you're so consumed in yourself, you're not going to see that. But anyways, seeing things as simple as the sunset, as people laughing, as listening to some good music, cooking. I honestly have started to love cooking even more recently. And like the entire process, I used to hate doing the dishes. Now I'm like, okay, this is chill. Let me put on a good playlist, a good podcast, and let me get washing them dishes. And just the entire process, meal prepping, doing all these different things, those are all things that bring me joy. And they're little mundane things that you wouldn't even think about. Another thing that I think will allow us to keep our heart soft, even when the world is telling us to keep it closed off, is understanding that you can forgive somebody but still not forget what's happened. I think, especially when somebody does something terrible to you, you don't have to excuse their actions, but holding on to what they did to you is actually going to rot you from the inside out. It is something that is going to rob you of your joy. It's going to rob you of your sense of self. It's going to rob you of anything that makes you good. Unfortunately, is continuing to let unforgiveness fester inside of you. I think for me, it's one thing, like you can 1000% forgive somebody, but still not forget. I think so in many ways you can use your pain that you experience in that particular situation as a way to protect yourself. But I think, like I said, there's a difference between protection and continually hardening your heart to people and things around you. But forgiveness is such a beautiful thing that can allow yourself to not let the world turn you cruel. I think if I just continue to, oh my gosh, I don't think I would talk to anybody. If I let every single thing that somebody did to me fester up and like fill me up with bitterness, I would not talk to anybody ever again. And it's funny because I literally posted on my close friend story on Instagram 2 days ago. I was at the beach and I took a picture of my kava, my book, and the beautiful ocean. And I was like, this and never speaking to a soul again. Because that's what my heart wants. My heart so badly wants to just not talk to anybody and just to be with myself. But I know I can't do that because I think part of what makes me me is the people that are around me. But anyway, so if you did see that and you're like, Lily, you liar. You literally said that you weren't going to talk to anybody again. Look at me now. Okay, I'm talking to you guys, so that's one thing. But anyways, yes, forgiveness is a tool that you can use in order to not help and not allow yourself to continue to harden your heart. Yes. I think about the last thing with forgiveness, I think part of forgiveness is understanding the place that that person can hold in your life again or can't hold in your, either one, fill in the blank, whatever you think. I think there are people who are in my life because in a way they have to be in my life, but I've set boundaries with them so that I know that they only have access to certain parts of me. And I use that and I believe that that's protection and not hardening my heart because they're still very much in my life. I know that they don't need complete access to me, but I know that them being in my life is inevitable and I can't really do anything about that. Forgiveness can be an everyday process. I could think that I'm over something and I forgave somebody and wake up the next day and I'm like, today I'm feeling really heavily these feelings towards this person and understanding that like that's okay. Like if you have to wake up every day and go through that process of forgiveness, like it can be something that's constant. I remember when I was in church, when I was younger, they would do a lot of altar calls about forgiveness. And like, if you need to forgive somebody, da, da, da. And I would hate that I would always have to go down. Like, why do I always have to go down? And it's typically for the same person. Right. And if they had an altar call today about who needs to forgive somebody, I'd still be probably down there thinking about the same person. Because something about somebody like you forgiving somebody and then they do something again just to stab you one more time. You're like, I was literally just, yeah. All you can do is pray for them. Anyways, setting boundaries with somebody, I think, is something that's very important. And I think you'll probably notice a pattern that either thinking about a certain person or being around a certain person is another thing that makes you harden your heart. And you don't have to be around them. You do not have to give them your time and your energy. And I think you're allowed to set that boundary and know that, like, I don't like the person that I am. When I'm with this person, so it's probably important for me to not be around them or with them. And I think one of the last things I was kind of thinking about is, I think believe that your softness is a strength. I think especially being a Black woman, we have many stereotypes. Part of that is being very, like, I think in many ways, the whole, like, feeling this idea like I need to harden my heart, a lot of us see it as protection and as a way to take ourselves seriously. In one of my classes, I think I talked about this class last week too, on War on Peace and Gender, we're talking about how in many instances, women felt like they needed to be hyper-masculine as a way to be taken serious, or that women needed to be mean or be corrupt and all those different things in order to be taken seriously, because the only people who were taken seriously were men who acted like that. And so women felt like they needed to act like a man. And I'm saying that in air quotes, but you can't see me, in order to be taken seriously. But I think remaining true to yourself, and this is a very specific situation because we were talking about peace building specifically in the UN and things like that. But just thinking on a more local level, I think a lot of us kind of have this guard up thinking that it's protecting us. But I think believe that your own softness can be used as your protection and as your strength. When you think about it, just on a local level, if you harden your heart and are just on your own and in your own zone and all those different things, you're not going to be able to truly experience life. And it's going to cause you to go numb, and the world wants you to be numb. But I think staying kind and hopeful and curious, even in the midst of the hardest situations, I think is an act of rebellion, and a good rebellion. And I think, like I said, there's people that remind you that the world, although there's a lot of cruelty in it, can still be very beautiful. Like, be that person. Be that person that reminds people that despite the things that are happening in the world, like, there are still people that make waking up every single day worth it. There are still people that remind me that we're going to get through this. But I would say, yeah, just say, I think your softness and your ability to be soft is not a weakness, but it's a superpower. And yes, I think I'm going to share something really quickly with you guys. So I don't know who this person is, but I did just look this up. Nikita Gill said, "You will be too much for some people. Those aren't your people. Keep your heart soft. Let it break. Let it mend. That's how the light gets in." Ooh, that's beautiful. Okay, period. They ate that. But honestly, just understanding that, like, when you harden your heart, it's eventually going to break too. And so allowing your heart to stay soft and feel everything, that's how the light lets in. That's how the light gets in. That's beautiful. I should look up who this person is, but let's see if there's anything else that I can share with you guys. Last words of wisdom before I log off. But also, Ezekiel 36:26, for my Bible readers, says, "I'll give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I'll remove your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh." I think I could do a whole episode about this same topic, but from a biblical standpoint. But I think just understanding that we were never meant to have a heart of stone, that we were meant to feel everything so deeply, and your ability to not let your heart of flesh turn into a heart of stone is one that will take a lot of strength. Okay? Yes. Arapi Kaur, I believe, is Arupi. I believe I have read a poetry book by this person, unless it's a different person. "Softness is not a weakness. It takes courage to stay tender in a world that teaches you to harden it." But I think, yeah, this is just something that's been on my mind a lot recently, and I hope that this can serve as some sort of reminder to you guys, but also just understand that, like, I'm with you, and if you're feeling the weight of everything right now, know that I'm right there with you, and there are people who have not gone desensitized to the things that are happening and are feeling everything very deeply, and just understand that this too shall pass. I have a very strong hope that it will, but I think mourning in the midst of this is also okay. It's okay to feel heavy. It's okay to, you know, have to do things that I have really been spending time with myself and doing things that make me joyful, because it's really hard to do that sometimes. But understand that I'm here for you guys, and If you have any questions or want to reach out or want to talk about anything, know that my DMs are always open. I'm chronically online, unfortunately, except now that I'm a working woman, don't contact me between, I'm just kidding. I'm probably still on my phone. But just kidding to my managers. I actually don't use my phone. You know that because, you know. Anyways, thank you guys so much for listening to this episode of Remix Reality Podcast. I love you all so much, and I will see you guys in the next episode. Bye-bye.